I wonder what the strangest instruction anyone has ever given you before is. Now, some instructions we know just make sense. They sound like a good idea and they're relatively easy to follow. Now, I don't know about you, and it may not surprise you to know that sometimes I struggle to follow instructions. I like to know why before I just simply do it, especially if it's my sat-nav that is telling me to go left when I know it makes more sense to go straight ahead. If I just go left, all it leads to is traffic lights, and I'm just going to have to sit in traffic. But if I go straight ahead, I know I can take that cut through. However, my sat-nav knows there's a roadblock up ahead that it would make sense for me to avoid. Now, sometimes we think we know better. And sometimes we are caught out by what we can't see coming ahead of us. Now, maybe sometime you have been given an instruction or a task to do that just doesn't add up. Some of you know that when I was at university, I worked in a bar. And whenever people started, our manager used to play tricks on the newbies. Maybe if you started a new job, you have had the same experience. Maybe you've been told to go for the long wait next door and have been left standing until someone explains that you are having a long wait and there's nothing to bring back. One of the manager's favourite at the bar was to get a regular customer to order a Guinness with a dash of lemonade. You would go to the effort of pouring the Guinness, not knowing that there's a, as soon as lemonade hits Guinness, it explodes. It goes everywhere. You would start your first shift covered in beer, and everyone else knew the joke was coming apart from you. I hope if any of you ever go on to work in a bar, I've saved you the embarrassment of being asked to pull a Guinness with a dash of lemonade, or saved you a long wait somewhere. See, some instructions are confusing. We all need to think carefully, don't we, about whose instructions we follow and how we are to respond. But when God gives us an instruction, what do we do? Do we step out in obedience? Or do we question whether he does actually know best? Do we know what God sounds like when he speaks? And are we willing to trust and see where he is going to lead us to next? Where are we willing to go in obedience to where God calls us? And what transformation might God be putting in our hearts to bring about in the lives of our workplaces, in our schools, in our colleges, and in our community, in our families? In our Acts reading this morning, Philip is given an instruction which he chooses to follow. It leads to a desert and a chariot in the road, where a man, through Philip, encounters Jesus and takes the gospel back to an entire region. Why don't we jump into the story together and see what God might want to say to us this morning. Now, in Acts 8, Philip is told by an angel of the Lord to get up, go south, go out onto the desert road running between Jerusalem and Gaza. Philip gets up and goes, and he sees an important chariot. In this chariot is an Ethiopian finance minister, a court official for Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He's travelled a long way to come to Jerusalem to worship, and he's returning home, and he's sitting in the chariot reading aloud from the prophecy of Isaiah. Philip, watching on, feels prompted again by God to move closer to the chariot. And Philip bravely does so, and he hears the man reading. Philip, though, grows braver still and asks a question. "Excuse me, sir, do you understand what you're reading?" That's a bit risky to a government official. Humble Philip on the road, prompted by God. "Excuse me, do you know what it is you read from?" And the man responds, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" He invites Philip into the chariot and they begin a Bible study. Now the eunuch reads from Isaiah chapter 53, a passage we know clearly pointing to Jesus, the suffering servant. But the eunuch has one more question. Excuse me, who is this passage about? And Philip begins with the story he reads and introduces him to Jesus Christ, the one who not only the passage points to, but also the one who will change everything. And as they travel on, the story continues. They pass a pool of water, and straight away the eunuch asks to be baptized. What's to stop me from sealing this news of Jesus? And so Philip baptizes this new believer. We're told as the eunuch rises from the water, Philip is taken away, but the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. He carries the good news of Jesus all the way home. He spreads the news of the gospel to a new region, and many come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. What gives me confidence to say that? Because we don't hear of him again in Scripture. But Irenaeus, a theologian, a historian in the second century, wrote about this man being a missionary to the whole of the region. One instruction to Philip from God led Philip to get up. It led to a conversation which led to an encounter with Jesus that not only changed one man's confusion, but led to salvation for an entire continent. What might God put on our hearts today that seems like a simple instruction that will lead to transformation, not only of our lives, but the lives of those around us? What does God want to challenge each of us with in order that we might be part of his plan for this area? Well, firstly, what might God tell you to move to do? When God calls you to travel into the desert road, are we too comfy where we are? Are we worried that it's a bit cold outside? Are we worried that we're too comfortable? What if it changes what I want this to look like? When God tells us to move closer to someone, do we find an excuse not to? When Jesus prompts us to share of our faith, do we chicken out? You see, in this passage, God gives Philip some strange instructions. Philip is quite comfortable chilling at home, but God says, hit the road, go out onto the desert path, put your shoes on, and go to the wilderness. Get out of your pajamas, Philip. There's gospel work to be done. Now, Philip doesn't ask for more information. He doesn't need to know why. He just gets up and goes. He trusts and follows the instruction. And then when Philip gets to the road, as he watches the chariot, the Lord prompts again, Philip, get closer. You know, Philip's about to engage in some risky behavior. I don't know if you've ever tried to step closer to a political leader. You don't get very close very easily. But Philip approaches the chariot. He goes out of his comfort zone. He crosses a cultural divide way beyond his pay grade. The chariot rider was way above Philip's station. But God told him to step closer, and Philip did. In following God's instructions, Philip first of all went onto the desert road to help lead this man out of his confusion. And in approaching the chariot, Philip crossed the divide in order to reach not just one man, but to kickstart the spread of a gospel. What desert roads is God sending each of us out onto this day, that we might bring healing, hope, answers, truth to? What barriers might we all need to get past? Where do we need to be willing this morning to get uncomfortable to follow the call of Jesus on our lives? Where is it time to get up, put on some walking shoes and hit a desert road in order that we might lead someone else back to the source of living water, Jesus Christ? Where does God want to elevate us into? Probably not for many of us chariots of gold like Philip, but to sit instead where? With people who are looking for hope and meaning today. Whose dirt have we got to get comfortable sitting in order to bring them to the one who brings transformation? The Lord said to Philip, go, and Philip went. Jesus would tell all of his disciples to go and preach the good news in every corner of the earth, and he's still telling his followers today to go and share and speak. Are we obedient to the Spirit's leading in our lives? Do we really believe he wants to use each of us to be part of sharing his message? But notice with me, Philip doesn't just follow the first instruction, he follows the next one too. Because God reveals a little bit of his plan bit by bit. Go to the road. And when Philip gets to the road, the prompt comes, move closer. Do we this morning trust God will reveal this plan step by step? Or do we want to know the whole plan before we take the first step? So many of us want to know the final destination before we put the shoes on. I know I'm like that too. But sometimes God in his grace doesn't let us know the whole plan, as we wouldn't have the courage to start the journey. You know, 10 years ago, when it was put to me to come to St. Luke's Canning Town for a year, y'all know I'm a proud Scot, it felt like I was being sent to exile to come to England. I told God, let's make a plan. I'm coming for 1 year, God, and then I'm going home. Let's be honest, God didn't sign up to the plan. I just told him what I wanted, and he had other ideas. God, I'll do London for a year, but then I'm coming home. But 1 year became two, and then the ordination call came, and then here I am 10 years later, and I tell you, there's nowhere else I would rather be. But if God had said to me, Amy, when you leave university, you're going to London for life, I wouldn't have made that step. But God in his grace gives us what we're able to say yes to. Okay, come for a year. You love this place, stay for a second year. Okay, God, I'll give you 2 years. I know we bargained on one, but okay, you can have two. Train for ordination. Do this, step by step, because God is faithful and gracious to us. God knows the plan, but he knows we need little by little, step by step, courage top up by courage top up. So this morning, do we trust God with the plan? Do we trust that as we take the first step, he will then show us the next step? So what step is God calling each of us to make today? Where do we need to pray for courage and boldness to take it, that God might lead us to the place he wants us to be in for the next part of the journey? Whose path does God call each of us to cross with in order that we might be his instrument in bringing transformation to the world around us? You know, so many of us, and I'm part of this category too, we want to know the whole plan. I want the map to be brought out, and I want to see where we're heading towards, and I want to plan what route I'm going to stop. I'm the person that likes to plan what service station I'm going to stop at. Where am I going to put the gas in the car as we go? But God doesn't give us the map. We know the final destination for all of us. It's in the eternal life with Jesus in heaven, but God calls us to trust him step by step on this way. If God wanted to give you a map and let you have part of a plan in planning what the step is, he would do so. But instead, he calls us to trust him like a GPS, like a sat-nav. When he says, go left, will we go left? When it says, continue straight, will we continue straight? My question this morning is, are we ready to listen, trust and obey and keep moving towards a destination, even when we think there's a better option ahead? Will we follow step by step, instruction by instruction, faith by faith? See, the Spirit tells Philip, go closer. And he catches up to the chariot. He hears the eunuch reading from Isaiah. You know, the eunuch is hungry for revelation, but he's confused. He's searching, but he's lost. Philip asks, mate, do you understand what you are reading? And the eunuch is like, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And the chariot door swings open and Philip's invited to climb in. And they have this conversation that changes everything. Where are we close enough to those who are searching for meaning and hope that we might be ready to give some of the answers they search for. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't often bump into people on the tube or at the bus stop reading from Isaiah. But I do often encounter people looking for wisdom, looking for hope, looking for meaning. Why do bad things happen? When will this pandemic end? If the God you say is real, why does this keep happening? What's the meaning of life? How come every time I try and do this, it only leaves me feeling more empty and broken? Why am I here? This week, when we hear those around us having those conversations, will we be brave enough to open our mouths and share of the reason for our hope? To introduce them to the one who gives peace in our lives. Now, we don't need to know all the answers to the questions that will come, because we're not looking to introduce them to a theory, but a person. We're not preparing them to take a religious test, but to encounter a love that changes everything. An acceptance that starts to heal some of the scars of rejection. A new start to wipe away the guilt and the shame some of us have been carrying for years. A saviour who loves us so much that he would die for us. And a God who says, you can trust me with your todays and tomorrows, because even when it gets stormy ahead, I won't let you go. My light will continue to shine in the darkest of days. Obedience leads us to the wilderness road. Obedience leads us to go and be part of our communities. And then God's Spirit fills us afresh with boldness and courage to open our mouths. Are we ready to introduce those around us this week to the one who changes everything? Or will we keep the news to ourselves? Now, Philip climbs into the chariot. He introduces the man to Jesus. Note with me that this man has traveled a long way to worship in Jerusalem. But he's now on his way back and he's confused. Now, we don't know what led him to want to go to Jerusalem to worship. Perhaps he'd been sent to figure out something about what the Jews worshipped. Perhaps he'd come seeking understanding. Perhaps he'd come to follow some ancient rules and traditions. But notice, time in Jerusalem hasn't led to revelation. As he travels home, he's frustrated. How is he supposed to understand these words unless someone actually explains it to him? And as Philip gets alongside him in the chariot, he starts with the words he reads, Isaiah 53. He introduces him to Jesus Christ. He tells him the good news about Jesus. What a short but beautiful summary of what our lives are built upon. And look, straight away it draws a response. The man doesn't need more time. He doesn't need to read the rest of Scripture. He hears something of this Jesus and he says to Philip, baptize me. Why shouldn't I get baptized? To seal the truth he's found in Jesus. Why? Because he's heard about the one who came close, the suffering servant, the one who's giving meaning and hope. And he goes on his way rejoicing. He knows that he's met the one that changes everything. He doesn't need to wait a little while. He doesn't need to sit a test. He doesn't need to figure it all out. He knows he's now met Jesus and he'll figure out the rest as he goes. He wants to be all in. Today, this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? And if you know him, have you been baptized? Have you publicly declared you're all in? And then have you gone out rejoicing in order to share the reason for the hope you found? I wonder if some of us this morning are a bit like the eunuch at the start of the story. You know, we've come to worship, but we're still a bit confused or worn out by tradition. We're searching and seeking for hope, but we're confused to what we've found so far. Perhaps we need to take a step back and ask the same questions the eunuch starts to ask. Who is this about? What is the point? How can I understand unless someone explains to me? Now, maybe time in church so far has maybe in the past been about tradition and rituals, what to say when and when to not speak, what you're allowed to do and what you're not. Maybe you've tried to live in a way, but you've got it wrong so many times in the past, you wonder if God can really love you. You've journeyed to your own Jerusalem in order to worship and found it wanting. If you're fed up with religion and rules today, can I do a Philip and just reintroduce you to Jesus? Because Christianity was never about rules, but about relationship with him. It's not supposed to be about regulations, but all of life, freedom. It's not supposed to be about duty, but joy. It's not about behavior modification, but all of life transformation. In Jesus, we find forgiveness from the past, new life today, and hope for tomorrow. This Jesus, do we know him? And if you've been introduced, how's the relationship going? Is it flourishing or does it need a bit more work? Is it time to get the daily check-in fixed in the diary? Is it time for that weekly hangout on a Sunday to grow into every other area of your life? As you get to know Jesus, are you starting to see it's not about Sunday mornings, but all of life transformation? The eunuch is filled with joy after finding Jesus Christ. Do you know the joy and the peace and the hope he brings this morning? Are we abiding in the vine? Are we living in Jesus' strength? Do we know that our weakness is made perfect in his power? Do we bear fruit this week? Who do we share the story with? Who will you invite to join us in church? Who are you offering to pray for this week? Philip was moved by the Lord to go to the desert road. He was instructed to move closer to the chariot, to step out in faith with a question, a conversation that brought transformation. Today, where is God prompting us to? Who do we need to get closer to in order to guide others in their frustration, in their questioning, in their seeking? Perhaps today you realize you came to worship, but you've encountered Jesus Christ. Are you ready to be all in forever? Are you ready to share this week your I have seen the Lord story? This is the difference Jesus makes to me. Maybe some of us need to pray for a courage top up. I know I do every morning. Jesus, give me the courage today for the conversation that might come. Lord, when I worry that I don't know the answers to the questions that will come, help me know that you are enough. I don't need to introduce someone to the latest theory. I know they just need you. What does it mean for us to go on our ways rejoicing? To hit the desert roads, to get closer to those who search for hope and meaning, and to share the reason for our hope and peace with the world. Are we in this morning?